Together, we watched Adele bask and glory in the sun like proud parents. At some point, we decided to leave her alone with her thoughts, and we retired to the dining hall for a celebratory cup of shitty instant coffee. June produced a bottle of cheap and nasty whiskey and added a slug to each mug, which somehow made the ugly cocktail palatable, and passed around brown cigarettes as if they were Cuban cigars.
"It's not over yet, you know," David said eventually, his smile slipping. "We've given Adele hope for future generations, but there's no guarantee they'll be safe."
"Those bastards outside won't let it drop, for starters," June sighed, her face falling back into its standard mask of stress. "If they catch wind of what's happened, they'll step up their harassment. This is an abomination to them. There's no way they'll let that greenhouse fill up without a fight. The moment they realize what's coming, they'll try to burn us to the ground."
"No," I said, and my voice was resolute. "We're not going to let that happen. Not after everything we've been through. Genocide is absolutely out of the fucking question."
"What can we do?" June shrugged. "Now that you're done, I imagine you'll go back to gallivanting around the globe, and it'll be just the two of us left here to fend off the whole world."
"No, we'll make them listen."
They looked at me like I was some hopelessly naive student, flush with newfound altruism, but I carried on. "Look, the people out there have been shat on their whole lives, pushed from one place to another. Even here at Refuge, they've been denied and kept outside in the cold. They're angry, and they're hungry, and they're desperate. So what we need to do is help them." "No, listen, that's how we win, by giving a shit when no one else will. What we do is we befriend them. Turn their anger away from us. It's the mayor and his flock of shitbirds who are to blame for keeping them out here. So what we do first is we spread that knowledge as far as we can. Give them a real target. Get them fighting back. Not in a physical sense, because that won't work and it won't last. But we get them motivated to care, and we get others involved in this too. There are many people in Refuge who will lend us a hand. Believe me, and together we can blow this up and get it seen, and then we're on our way. And they're hungry out there, so we feed them, become a part of their community. We've got a greenhouse, for crying out loud. All we need are seeds, crops, people to work them. And once they're fed and their anger's focused in the right direction, once they realize that anyone with a heart is on their side and willing to pitch in, you could say goodbye to the desperation. Sure, it might take them time to come to terms with Adele's kind, but if she's with us, doing them no harm, and if she converses with their leaders, we can do this, guys. We can win this. Just look at what life is like inside Refuge, 100 cultures existing side by side. Acceptance, respect, peace. That's what we grow here now." David nodded in fervent agreement as my monologue came to an end, and once again, I wished Cameron had been here to capture the moment. June looked less convinced.
"Nice rhetoric, Hermes, but it's still just us. How the hell are we supposed to do all that alone?"
"Because you won't be alone. You were right before. I'm leaving, and I'm heading back out into the world, but not for my own enjoyment. I've got a mission now, guys, and I might not have a crappy TV show anymore, but I know how to get around, and I know how to talk and talk. My first stop is Refuge, and this time, instead of chasing rumors, I'm going to spread them. I'm going to let the right people know that there's something special going on out here, and one by one, they'll venture out to see. And it won't stop there. I've been all over this planet, and I have friends in every country you can name, and more besides. Trust me on this. You won't be alone for long."